This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builder Supply. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. It was a busy day for your crews yesterday.
It's been a busy week, but yes, we had multiple fires yesterday. We started off a little after 11 o'clock with three fires up between Yoncullen and Drain, right along the road there. Those fires burned about a quarter acre altogether, and we were able to get those taken care of pretty quickly between our crews and North Douglas. But the big fire for the day happened down outside of Dillard near Rice Creek, where a fire started about 3:30 or so and burned up the hillside there. Burned a total of 15 acres, and that was a pretty challenging fire between the strong winds we had and all the down fuel from last year's snowstorm really challenged us.
And, of course, it's no secret that we're getting into fire danger increasing. In fact, you've kind of flipped the switch for today.
We have. So as of today, we've gone from moderate up to high. So that does change some things for the general public. With under the public use restrictions, the mowing of dead or dry grass, non-industrial power saw use, the cutting and grinding and welding of metal, and then any other power-driven machinery that's used on private property for an improvement or development, for a non-industrial improvement or development, is restricted to before 10 o'clock in the morning or after 8 o'clock at night. So people need to stay up to date with those fire restrictions. And if they have questions, they can always give us a call.
Now, what kind of an area does this change include?
So this is district-wide. So any lands that are within the Douglas District and protected by DFPA fall under these restrictions.
So does that include cities, or are they not on that?
Well, that's kind of the tricky area is, a lot of our protection doesn't include city limits, but a lot of the cities throughout Douglas County have kind of adopted what we put out there for fire season with restrictions. So if you live inside of an incorporated city, I encourage you to contact your local fire department or city hall and find out exactly what they're restricting inside the city limits.
What are some of your concerns going into the weekend, especially Sunday and into Monday with this 100 degrees expected?
Yeah, so that's one thing, we've been kind of watching the last couple of days is, the forecast coming up. It's getting a little worse every day as we get closer. Those temperatures keep increasing a little bit. It doesn't take much to start a fire with these conditions. So we're asking people to be cautious, be careful. The other thing that we're kind of keeping an eye on before I came in here was reading through the weather is they're starting to talk about the chance of thunderstorms in western Oregon come Monday. So we'll kind of see where that develops and if that develops, and we'll go from there.
100 degrees and thunderstorms.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a fairly common thing is that last real hot day when you get a hot streak. It's fairly common to see the right ingredients for thunderstorms to develop. So we're going to, again, see if that develops. Hopefully not, but we'll take care of it if it does.
Wow. So I want to go back to yesterday, the larger fire, Rice Creek fire. That started out at 1 acre, got clear up to 15 acres. And just a couple of the pictures that I looked at looked like it was a bit of a challenge.
It was very challenging. So that fire, again, started off kind of in a grass field and had some fairly sustained winds on it that pushed that fire very quickly uphill. Once it got into the timberline above, it was an area, again, that had extensive storm damage from last year's snowstorm. And we knew, after that snowstorm, we were going to be challenged going forward for a while. But this is a great example of how excess fuel on the ground from an event like that can really challenge firefighters. But we were able to get around that with two bulldozers to get lines put in. We had three helicopters working on that, a lot of heat coming out of there, and then multiple engines. We had people on that fire overnight last night, and we've got several crews in there today mopping up and making sure that's going to be secure going forward.
And that was an area where a lot of people were noticing the smoke from quite a ways.
Yeah, so when I left Roseburg here, I could see the smoke column by about the time I got to the fairground. So it was very visible from all over the area.
So how many, like yesterday for the bigger fire, how many people did you have out there?
Oh, that's a great question, Kyle. thanks for putting me on the spot here. You know, at the time, we probably had, you know, 9 or 10 engines. Those engines range from 2 to 4 people. And then we had resources from the rural fire departments. We brought a 20-person crew in to help last night get that mopped up. And there's 2 20-person crews out there today. So, you know, you're looking anywhere from, you know, 40 to 60 people in a fire like that.
So it's and the reason I asked the question is it's amazing for people who don't really think about fires and how you deal with them and what's needed, the number of people that you need to have. And it's a, you know, 15-acre fire. So, you know, when you think about some of these bigger fires that we've had, and the numbers of crews just grows exponentially.
Yeah, it does. You know, you figure an acre is about the size of a football field, so you know, there's a visual for you there, and you start compounding that where you got 15 or 20 or 50 or 1,000 acres or football fields. It takes a lot of people and a lot of resources to mop that up and take care of it. You know, the big thing there, again, is we're not only stopping it right now, but we've got to make sure that's not going to go anywhere in the future, you know, tomorrow, 2 weeks down the road, or a month down the road.
Well, and that is the other thing that we've dealt with periodically around here, is these things sometimes restart themselves.
Yeah, it's very common for this stuff with all the vegetation that we have to get down in a stump hole or a cat berm or whatever and sit there and smolder for days or even weeks before, you know, a hot day like we have coming up this weekend and a little bit of wind, you know, sparks a new fire outside those fire lines.
So going into the weekend, especially thinking about Sunday, Monday, how do people help you out? What should they not be doing?
Well, where do I start? We're still getting calls for illegal burns. The fires we had yesterday up out of Coffee Crossing, we actually had to pull an engine off that was doing mop-up up there to respond to a burn barrel down the road from the fire. We had another call this morning for an illegal burn. So that'd be the first place I would ask people to refrain from is from burning. From there, you know, just follow those fire restrictions. If you're going to be doing mowing or chainsaw work, again, it's before 10 o'clock in the morning or after 8 o'clock at night. And again, with these conditions, I would probably wait a couple days if you have something like that to do anyway, where it's a little bit cooler.
All right, Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
8:37 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.